Welcome to People Power and Politics, hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.
A very warm welcome to everyone. We are once again joined by a very special guest, Mr. Brad Lando, who is the controller for New York City. Welcome, sir. Good to have you here with us.
It's delightful to be here.
Always a pleasure. So you are the chief financial officer, the chief accountability officer for New York City. And we know there are concerns from the general public about what's been happening, inflation, the economy. Banks are collapsing. Let's talk about that.
So, absolutely. This is a very anxious time. We came through the pandemic and we're worried, would the city economy come back? And on that front, there is good news. The city economy is back to 99% of the jobs that we had before the pandemic. And even in some of the hard hit industries like restaurants or hospitality, back to about 95%. So that's good. But then on the other hand, inflation is stubbornly high, and that means the cost of housing and gasoline and food remains high, and many working families haven't seen a raise. You know, folks are working at the minimum wage. The minimum wage hasn't gone up since 2019. So what was $15 an hour, what you could buy with that, that buys less than $13 an hour today because, you know, the cost of eggs and other goods. So inflation. And then, as you point out, last week, these two banks, Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, both failed. And that has everyone on edge. The federal government came in and insured the deposits. But, you know, that increases the likelihood that banks will be kind of stingier in their lending and less likely to give someone a loan to buy a home or start a business. And that could slow the economy. So we look every month. We do an economic monthly newsletter. And I really urge people to sign up. Go to comptroller.nyc.gov and you could get our monthly newsletter where we really say, what is the economic and financial news and what does it mean for New Yorkers? And this month, we always have a spotlight. In addition, we give the basics, what's going on in the economy, what are the numbers for jobs? But then we also do a spotlight. And this month for Women's History Month, we decided to do the spotlight on care workers, or what we call the care economy, people working as home health aides, doing home care, daycare workers, preschool teachers, folks working in that set of caring professions, because 89% of those workers are women, a majority are women of color, and it doesn't get enough attention, and it sure doesn't get enough pay.
Talking about the care workers, how does that industry impact New York City's economy?
Yeah. Well, so it's a lot of workers. It's about 250,000 workers on its own, about 5% of the jobs in the city's economy, we found. And some of those are really growing, like home care. New Yorkers are aging. By 2035, there'll be 4.6 million New Yorkers over 65. And so folks need home care to survive. So home care work is growing, but we're having a hard time filling the jobs because we don't pay home care workers enough. That is hard work to take care of someone, but we treat it like minimum wage work. And really, when you think about it, you know, a lot of care workers, kind of the care workers fall, we find in this report, in two categories. They take care of our kids, their child care workers and preschool teachers, or they take care of our seniors. And like, what's more important than taking care of our kids and our seniors? And yet we pay that work at minimum wage as though it's the work we value the least, and yet we all need it.
Definitely we do. So recently the city came to a tentative agreement, labor agreement with DC 37. Thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Well, first, it's good to have an agreement because the city was out of contract with its workers for more than a year. And that was the year when inflation was through the roof. And so the price of, you know, food and eggs and gas and housing was going up. But city workers didn't have any increases. And that feels like getting a pay cut when your wages stay the same, but expenses are rising. So DC 37 negotiated with the city's Office of Labor Relations and reached this agreement which includes a set of 3 and 3.5% raises and also a $3,000 one-time payment at the beginning to cover some of what people had been missing over that last year. It does cost the city a lot of money, and of course that's a challenge. We estimate that if that same pattern covers all city workers over the next 4 years, it tallies to about $16 billion. And of course, the city has to balance its budget while trying to provide all these essential services. At the same time, it's a lot better. Everyone knew a contract was needed, and we now have the clarity of what that contract will be.
Okay, great. So as the city's chief financial officer and chief accountable officer, what is your words of advice to the average Jane and Joe, you know, dealing with what we're dealing with right now?
Yeah, well, this is a challenge. I mean, obviously, there are people who have found a way, you know, if you're in one of those kinds of positions where you have a little flexibility to try to negotiate for higher pay, some people have been successful in doing that because the labor market remains pretty tight. And people need it. So I think, you know, I was just on the picket line with some Starbucks workers who decided that they deserve to have more than Starbucks owes them. You know, I was out similarly last year with those Amazon workers who are organizing. So if you're in a big company like that, exercising your right to organize a labor union, I know that's one thing that this, the station cares a lot about. That can really produce. Obviously, a lot of workers are in small businesses, and that's, you know, those can be harder places. I will say, I think this is a good time for those folks who are ready to look at starting a business on their own to try to do so. As I said, it's not always easy to get a loan or a capital to do it. And I know especially Black and Latino entrepreneurs often have to rely, if they're lucky enough to be homeowners, on their home equity. But, you know, there's still vacant storefronts where there maybe was a restaurant or a business pre-pandemic. And those, you know, those folks might be looking for a new tenant. And we've seen a lot of new business creation over the last 2 years. So this can be a good time to try that if you're ready.
Okay. So the controller says go start a business if you're ready. Awesome. So let's just touch a little bit on NYCHA. Yes. NYCHA. Lots of stuff happening with NYCHA. What are your thoughts?
So we convened a wonderful group of NYCHA residents to be our NYCHA resident audit committee, because one responsibility of the controller is to do audits of every city agency. And there have been a lot of audits of NYCHA in the past. And of course, they've found a lot of problems and shortcomings. But we thought, who should power our audits? Who should decide what we look at, tell us what they think is the most important, other than residents? And that had not been done in the past, because I think audits, sometimes they get thought of as like they're done by, you know, like the Wizard of Oz or something, not by real people. So we went out and surveyed hundreds and hundreds of NYCHA residents. We did town halls all over the city, and then we convened this NYCHA resident audit committee. And they chose two things they want us to start auditing. One is how does NYCHA select, supervise, and evaluate its repair contractors? When NYCHA hires firms to do the repair work, is there any accountability? Do they just keep hiring the same companies even if they don't fix things or if they never show up? Or is there accountability? So we're going to start it. We're starting an audit there. And then NYCHA has some new programs where a private management company will come in and do repairs, but you don't stay a NYCHA tenant. You become a tenant of that new company. And the repairs happen, but people are concerned about whether eviction rates go up when that management is turned over to the private company. So the NYCHA Resident Audit Committee asked us to look at that as well, and we'll be doing an audit. That program sometimes is called RAD or RAD Pact, and it's happened in the Far Rockaways. It's happened in a number of places around the city. There was an announcement last week the mayor made that residents at Chelsea Fulton Houses have voted on a thing that would actually build new buildings but then demolish the old ones under this program. So we're going to be doing an audit specifically on tenancy and eviction rates if a building goes into that program, so that tenants, when they have a choice about what to do, because tenants are supposed to be empowered to make choices about what path they want for their future, to make sure they really have all the information that they need.
So recently you developed a language access forum. Let's talk about that.
So local law in New York City requires all city agencies to provide translation and interpretation of all public documents in 10 languages, in Spanish, in Haitian Creole, Chinese, Russian, Bengali, Korean, Arabic, French, Urdu, and Polish. So letters, signs, posters, websites have to be available, and there needs to be someone that can speak that language when you go into a city office, if you're dealing with the Child Welfare Agency, or if you're dealing with the Department of Finance, or if you're dealing with NYCHA, or if you want to become a for-hire vehicle driver, whatever it is. You've got so many places where New Yorkers who speak different languages, languages other than English, do business, create jobs, need services, and unfortunately they can't get it. So we launched a new website in all 10 of those languages, and we actually worked with community groups because we found that the service, the translation service companies that the city uses in some cases don't get really the nuance or the translation right. So we are actually working to improve our own language access. So folks can go on our website at comptroller.nyc.gov and in their own language say, okay, I went to this child welfare office and I was not, you know, the posters weren't up in my language, or I tried to speak my language and there was no one there that was able to translate or to speak it. And then we'll follow up. And we've had some good luck doing it, some good positive outcomes with the Taxi and Limousine Commission and with NYCHA in cases where people were not receiving, you know, were not able to get services in their language. But we want this new website both to help us help individuals with their cases, but also gather data on what agencies are doing well and what agencies are not doing well, so we can push forward for real change so that that law will really be complied with and all New Yorkers, regardless of what language they speak, could get the services that all New Yorkers deserve.
Excellent, because New York City is a melting pot of different cultures.
Amen.
All right. So thank you so much, Mr. Landa, for being here and sharing such great information with us. And we look forward to having you back again.
Thank you so much. I look forward to it.
Our pleasure.
People Power and Politics. Hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.